That's not a very enthusiastic intro. Hi, welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode...
Oh gosh, here we go again.
Episode 36.
Yeah.
This week, we're doing...
Wait, what are we called?
Oh, I'm called Delaney. This is Mariah. This is Women Writing Men.
Yeah.
We are looking for the most attractive man in fiction. This week, we're doing the second book in the ACOTAR series, A Court of Mist and Fury.
That's correct.
By Sarah J. Maas. If you didn't listen to the first one, don't bother with this one.
Yes. We are doing the first three books. We've decided now.
Not doing anymore. Ryan and I have both finished the third book now, and we have hard decided we're done.
So follow along with us. By reading 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, it was really funny. We've both finished it quite recently, and like we sat down to eat food and we were like, we can't talk about the third one. We can't do it. And then like 10 minutes later we're ranting about how furious we were about the third one.
So get excited for episodes far from now.
Yeah. They're gonna be good.
I mean, I'm sure we're gonna rant about this one too, but
yeah.
They just get more ranty.
Yeah, the issue with this one is I didn't take notes.
No.
Because I had only read, like, I'd read the first one, I think before Mariah. Before Mariah had even read the first one. And I was like, well, what was the point of Tamlin then? If he's not the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Do we still ever find out the point of Tamlin?
No, we never find it. That goes in the third episode. We never find out the point of Tamlin. But, yeah, so I kept reading because I was like, oh, we'll do the first one. And then...
And then you just were curious.
And I was just curious. And then
after, I got back.
Yeah.
And we started talking about this. We're like, let's do all three. They're so, like, popular right now. Well,
yeah.
People seem to love them.
Yeah, it wasn't... And, admittedly, they are books.
Such a low standard. So.
So yeah, I didn't take notes, so Mariah's like leading the charge on this one.
Okay.
You gotta summarize it too.
Well, I was gonna say, since I normally lead the charge, you normally lead the charge.
I'll try to summarize.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad at that.
Well, so am I.
I guess at least I know their names. So, points for me. Okay, so what happens in the second book? Farah has PTSD. Everyone has PTSD.
Everyone.
But in the second book, Farah's like trying to make it work with Tamlin, but she's also...
And Tamlin has major PTSD.
And also. Tamlin also has PTSD.
I mean, they don't call it this.
Also, oddly, the character who gets tortured the most frequently on page, Lucien, does not seem to have PTSD.
He's over it.
Yeah, so Farah's, like, going between the Spring Court and the Night Court because she made that...
Contract
with Rhys. I don't know what else happens.
And Tamlin's mean.
Yeah.
So she leaves him.
Oh, yeah.
And then she starts hanging out with Rhys.
And all his friends.
All his friends. And Rhys is like, war is coming. Fight in it with me,
mm-hmm.
my lady.
Yeah.
And they mate.
Yeah.
And she has freedom, so she's like super hot for Rhys because he gives her freedom.
Yeah.
Low bars.
All right. That was a pretty terrible summary.
Because it's a terrible summary. This book, when you're talking about rising action, blah, 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 like this one didn't have that. You're like, what are they heading towards in this book? Nothing.
Nothing.
Random little things happen throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, the final moment, oh, I guess, was the whole stuff with Highburn. Oh, mm-hmm. Nesta and Elaine are bigger characters in this book.
I wouldn't call them bigger characters until the very last bit.
But they're very important to the very last bit.
Yeah. First thoughts?
So hard to remember my first thoughts of this book only. Also having just read...
The third one. The thing is, I feel like we kind of talked about our first thoughts about this one in the last one. Yeah.
It's true. I know. I mean, again, I know because I said it. I just think Tamlin gets a bad rap.
I agree. I think the author makes him do things
that I don't understand why.
That don't seem to
his character.
Yeah, they don't seem to fit with his character. And she just puts him in really bad positions too. Yeah. And then he's in this bad position and he acts in a bad way, and then the author's like, Tamlin bad.
Yeah.
Whereas she puts Farrah in these positions, and Farrah makes bad choices, and you're like,
oh, we forgive her because she's Farrah.
Because she's the main character.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I really didn't feel like Tamlin's actions were different than Rhys or Farrah's.
No.
It was just but he did it, and Tamlin bad, yeah. So.
I mean, we already kind of started talking about it in the summary. Nothing happens in this book.
Yeah.
It was 600 and something pages of just,
And then she went here, and then she talked to him, and then they talked, and then...
Last 30 pages had, the drama happen,
mm-hmm.
and then the book was over, and I was like, this is what we were leading to the whole time?
Yeah.
This?
It's really hard to tell. It's... it's really paced like a romance novel, where, the character interactions take precedence over plot things,
mm-hmm.
But
it's not a good romance, because we all know she's just gonna end up with Rhys.
Yeah.
There's no,
There isn't...
Will they, won't they?
Yeah.
Or even, more of a love triangle with Tamlin and Rhys. It's Tamlin bad, so here's your option, Rhys. Fall in love. And then, the whole mate crap of, mm-hmm. There isn't even falling in love. They were destined for each other.
Oh my god, the destined mates. That was my biggest problem with this book, is right at the end. Okay, we'll get to it.
Okay. So, ready? Okay. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I don't have anything more to say.
Okay. Here we go. I'm leading this.
Yeah.
Thing.
Let's get into it.
Okay. There is a pre-chapter in this book.
Mariah brought up... Mariah, as soon as she,
started looking at my notes.
Yeah, she was like, what is the point of the pre-chapters? Because there's one in the third book as well. And
there probably was one in the first book, too. Yeah. I have no idea what it was.
Was it the wolf in the woods or something?
Was it?
Maybe.
Why would it happen in a pre-chapter?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
This pre-chapter is Farrah having a nightmare about killing those two fae children. Mm-hmm. Or were they both children?
I don't think.
I think the boy was a youth. I think the girl was whatever, normal. But in her nightmare, she kills herself instead.
So she's struggling.
Now, the books also have parts, which you didn't write down, but I did. We're in part one, The House of Beasts.
Which you didn't write down, you idiot. As if I have any notes.
But you didn't do it for the first book?
Oh, yeah.
And so when we were going through, I was like, did the first book not have parts?
It did, sorry.
Or did she just not choose to write
them
again, down?
I think I wrote it in the third one. I wrote it
for the third one. I don't know why they have parts either, because I read them and I was like...
It's because they're massive books and you have to break them. Yeah.
I also, actually, here's the first thought, rewinding a little bit. Sometimes I don't understand her chapter pacing. Because sometimes I would read a chapter and I'd be like, you are putting everything into this chapter. And then there would be five chapters on one conversation. Just continue, five might be an exaggeration, but it'd be the same conversation over so many chapters. And I'm like, why? Why are we we just read a 15-page chapter.
Yeah.
And now we're reading 6 3-page chapters all about the same event. What are you, how are you deciding
Where are
to
you?
Break these things up?
It's funny, you know, I don't have notes, so I don't know if I noticed that.
I noticed it, again, third book, but it was the same in these books too.
Yeah.
Because some of the first chapters of all the books are really long, and then I'm like, I'm halfway through this book, and there's still 40 chapters? Where are they going to come from? And it's because all these chapters are 3 pages long, and I'm like, what is up with this pacing? Okay, chapter one.
Yeah.
Farrah is in the spring court. I don't really know. My notes are kind of my notes still, so... She's already seems to be on board with Rhysand. Yuck. Not in love, but she doesn't think he's her enemy after what he did to her. Everyone else thinks he is, though, and they're right.
Oh, yeah, guys, if you were like, oh, we need more Mariah episodes, you got one.
And then my next point is, that that's good. They being Farrah and Tamlin, are both traumatized, but have silently agreed to not talk about it. Otherwise, Aramantha wins, which is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Because all I remember from this point was, like, she's having nightmares, he's having nightmares, and they're both like, we're fine!
We just won't talk about it.
And they just, like, have sex at night because that's when they feel good, and I'm like, what? Farrah's literal thoughts are, if we talk about what happened to us and, like, remember it, Aramantha wins. I'm like, she's winning now by you not talking about it and being depressed and terrified and, like, not dealing with it.
Yeah.
That's how she wins. This is, again, 19-year-old. This is what happens when you're...
Yeah, this is what happens when you're 19.
Except for Tamlin has also decided this, and he's hundreds of years old. So, chapter 2, Tamlin and Farrah are engaged. We didn't read that part. It just, the book starts with them engaged. Mm-hmm. But he's too overprotective of her. He doesn't let her out of the house. He wants to keep her safe, but he also needs to trust her.
Yeah, this is... I don't remember which book this was in, but, like, Rhys was overprotective of Farrah, too. And, like, obviously he's way better than Tamlin.
Yes.
Like, in this book, you can't argue that Rhys is a bad partner. It's just that his actions in the first book... Have not been redeemed. So then,
and they try to redeem it, and I will get into it. And I like, this is not how you redeem those actions.
Yeah, they did this with Tamlin, where he's like, oh, I'm gonna keep Farrah, like, protected and locked up and stuff. It's like...
And he says it because, like, the whole Spring Court loves her, like...
Yeah.
She's basically become their, like, unofficial queen, right? And he's like, they need you. Like, you are their hope. We need to keep you safe.
It's weird actually realizing she's 19.
Yeah.
Which, by our standards, is young.
Yes.
Like, let alone...
By their standards, she's a youth.
Yeah, she's, like, a infant child. And she's like, why are you treating me like I'm an infant child? Anyway, so Tamlin... He's kind of justified, but it's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't
handle it well, but again, do we know his backstory at this point? I don't know. Like, his whole family is dead.
Yeah.
And some of them were evil, and some of them he loved, and they were all murdered.
Yeah, he's...
So, like, and he also was just, like, a slave to Amarantha.
Yeah.
And she wanted him to be his sex slave.
Yeah.
And, like... Like, he's not, like, in a good headspace. And she basically is just, like, be in a better headspace for me.
Yeah.
Except for, he's not allowed to do that to her.
No.
He's not allowed to say to Farrah, who is also in a bad headspace, be in a better headspace, Farrah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, no.
He has to just fix his own shit.
And she gets to live in her shit.
Yeah.
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 Bothering me.
Yeah.
Okay. And her shit is, she thinks she's a murderer. And everyone loves her, and she's like, they love me, but I'm a literal murderer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not great stuff. A new character alert. Iantha. How do you say it? Ianthe? Ianthe? The priestess. She's pretty important.
Do we Google it? Okay, Ianthe.
Okay, so new character. Her name is Ianthe. She is a high priestess for the Spring Court.
Yeah.
Basically, her job right now is to plan their wedding and pick out Farrah's clothes. That's what I've written down. She basically hangs out with Farrah, and Farrah likes her at this point.
Yeah, as much as Farrah can like anyone,
she basically likes Ianthe because Ianthe
does things for her.
Does things for her. Makes her decisions for her, picks out her clothes, talks to people who are there to visit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which is like, I wonder why... Tamlin doesn't want you to, like, go out of the house when you can't even talk to the people who come into the house.
Yeah. Interesting, that.
Okay, they bang. This seems to be the only time that she's happy. Problematic. Actually kind of shocking that they have an okay sex life, considering where she's at emotionally. I was just thinking of that, because I know, like psychology says, like, if you're having a bad sex life, that is just the symptom of something.
Yeah, I think
worse going on. And I was like, their sex life is great. How? What? No, Sarah J. Maas, that's wrong. It wouldn't be great. Like, they can't handle it right now.
I think it's more like that's the only thing she can handle. Like, and you know, she's like, everything else can suffer, but we'll just escapism, use this kind of thing. Also, I feel like her and Tamlin have more sex.
Yeah.
Than like, her and Rhys did.
The sex definitely goes down.
Yeah.
From here on out.
Yeah. Except
for their, like, the big one later on in this book.
Yeah.
That one and, big moment.
And also in the third one. I can't talk about it in the third one. But there's a very specific thing they do. A lot.
Sex stuff?
Yeah. Her and Rhys.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's really oddly specific. Okay, and he excited. Mentions it multiple times. And I'm like, it's kind of weird that, like, every time this is your choice.
Interesting. I don't remember what this is. Okay. Okay. I obviously was not reading that in great depth.
Yeah. It just surprised me. Like, by the third time it happened, I was like, again?
Okay. Things to look forward to. Chapter 3. I've decided that I can see both sides of, like, both Feyre's point of view and Tamlin's point of view. We've already discussed this. This is me saying, he watched you die and his family die. And he has High Lord, so he has responsibilities. Calm down, Feyre.
Yeah.
But they aren't talking about anything that's going on for either of them. Dumb.
Dumb.
Tamlin does let her go to the village, by the way. It's not like he's like...
like chained her to the bed or anything.
Not yet. But... but he sends her to a village with Lucian, I think?
Yeah.
Tamlin go to? I don't remember. And the village, she's like, I want to help. And the villagers don't want her help. So again, like, and the reason they don't want her help is not because they, like, don't think they can help. But they're like, you have done everything you could ever give to us. Mm-hmm. We don't want to burden you more. And so she, like, doesn't help and goes home, basically.
Yeah.
Chapter 4. Is there any Rhys chapters yet?
I think
I didn't write it down. Because I'm like, chapter 4. Oh, wow, the wedding is tomorrow. But she definitely went to Rhys's before that.
Did she?
Oh, maybe not. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So the wedding, yeah. The first time that Rhys comes to collect is the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, the wedding is tomorrow. She is unhappy. She isn't learning about Tamlin's friends and can't remember the last time she laughed. Terrible. She also thinks she should burn in hell.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a part. I remember the part about the friends because they were having, like, a big banquet before the wedding. And she, like, has no interest in Tamlin's friends. And I'm just like, you're a rude person. You're like,
she's so traumatized, Mariah.
She's traumatized. She's so up on Tamlin about the crap that he's doing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, these are my friends. And she's like, I don't care. Like, she doesn't say that to him, I don't think. But she, like,
yeah,
puts no effort in to trying for Tamlin. And I'm like, why should he try for you? Why?
I honestly, like, going through this, I was just like, I think her and Tamlin are just a bad fit for each other.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not evil.
This is the problem. Yeah. They portray him as a monster.
And, like, that's the thing. I'm like, it's not like I want Feyre to choose Tamlin. I don't want Tamlin to end up with her. I just don't think it's fair to Tamlin.
Yeah.
The way the story went.
Yeah. Okay, so she's walking down the aisle, and the only thing, do you think Ianthe did this on purpose? The only thing she said about her wedding, Ianthe made every other decision. The only thing she said was, no red, because every time she sees red, she thinks of the blood of the people she murdered, and it freaks her out. So she's walking down the aisle, and there are red petals along the aisle, and she starts to panic. And then Rhysand is there, and I said, is this a dream?
Yeah.
It's not. Chapter 5. She did not wake up. It was not a real dream. It was real life, I mean.
That was not the correct phrasing, if that's what you meant.
And I guess, so, she, like, wanted the wedding to stop. She got halfway down the aisle, and she basically froze.
Yeah.
And then Rhysand pulls up, and he's like, time for your 1 week with me, Feyre! And he, like, takes her to the night guard. I said, that's bold. Ianthe seems to be afraid of Rhysand, even though earlier she said she'd protect Feyre from him.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, ran away, I guess, kind of. That's what I wrote. But now she's gone.
Yeah.
So, like, she saw Rhysand and was like, ah! Get away! I guess. Tamlin is not fighting hard for her, which I guess is a part of it. Why isn't he? I don't know what I meant. It's not really logical. Night court time! She hates Reese. Night Court is beautiful, though.
Yeah.
I didn't describe it other than I knew it was beautiful. Okay, and so we find out now that the reason why he came is because they have that, like, little magic bond mm-hmm. from last book, and he could hear her yelling, like, yeah. through her, in her mind. She wasn't yelling mm-hmm. at the wedding, but in her mind, she was like, I can't do this. Get me out of here. And he was like, I will oblige.
Yeah, so he comes to rescue her.
And now he's like, and now you can use me as an excuse. You don't have to go home and say, I couldn't go through with it. You can say,
I got kidnapped.
Except for that's so stupid. You should encourage her to go home and be like,
be him. Honest with him.
Yeah.
It's fine. You can just get her out of the wedding for free.
This was my, at the beginning of this book, I really didn't want to write anyone's names down. So I said, there is a female that is friends with Reese.
So that's probably more.
That's more. She's actually his cousin.
That's probably more then.
Yeah. No, I didn't write that. I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I know. It was more.
Yeah.
Because more was the only one in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
She thinks about the fact that they should postpone the wedding until they both have healed more, which seems like a smart move. Mm-hmm. And what's his name? Reese can read her mind because of the tattoo, but not all the time, but often enough that I don't like it.
Yeah. It, I think in the early stages, it's a little bit invasive.
Yeah. He, right, Reese, is also going to teach her how to read.
Yeah. Is that
falling in love while reading
trope. Yeah. Oh, I mean, that was in Where the Crawdads Sing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If the boy teach you how to read, he hot, sexy man.
It bothers me. It doesn't come yet. Bothers me how quickly she learns to read, by the way. Like, she's 19 years old and never read. She should not be this good at it.
It also, like, I don't really understand, like, it didn't make sense in my mind why she was like, I can't learn to read from Tamlin.
I know.
But I can from Reese.
I know. I question. I'm like, why aren't you learning to read somewhere else? Like, other people know you can't.
It was like
Ianthe could teach you to read. It doesn't matter.
It was like a personal preference for her.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's fine if you have a personal preference, but it just like, I don't think the author spelled it out well enough for the readers.
No, I
to do. Be like,
we both,
why?
We both questioned it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Morrigan and Reese are the most beautiful beings that Farrah has ever seen. There's something secretive about Ianthe. Rhysand doesn't trust her, and he also warns Farrah that war is coming. Any comments?
I mean, I can't do it without talking about the third book, but actually, here, they introduce two women. They're like, here's Ianthe, and here's Morrigan.
Who is called Mor, by the way.
Yeah, and it was very clear from the beginning that Ianthe was going to be a bad woman character, uh-huh. and Morrigan was going to be a good woman character. Uh-huh. And I don't know how do you know that, you know? Like, what did Ianthe do?
Nothing.
That made her, like...
Like, until, like, the only thing we have to go off of in terms of Ianthe being a bad character is that Reese says it. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, why would you trust this man? He's literally kidnapping you every month. Well, every week of the month and did all that crap to you.
Yeah.
So he says that. And then also, during the wedding, when Ianthe was like, I'll protect you from Reese.
And then doesn't.
And then doesn't.
Yeah.
So like, those are our two... But up until that moment of not protecting her... Which, like, protecting her from what? He was like, wasn't, I don't know. I, like, don't mm-hmm. know. But she had been very kind, had been very helpful. I guess she, like, that's why I wonder, was that signal? Like, oh, she told Ianthe not red, and then Ianthe did red. Like,
Was that the turning point where we're like, oh.
Because until then, she had been, like, she had been doing
what
Farrah wanted.
Yeah, she hadn't been bad.
No. And now we just... Because Reese told her, us, don't trust her, we now have to not trust her.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe Ianthe deserved it. I don't know.
I mean, she was bad.
I also had a weird thing where I was like, why are all the evil women rapey?
I know. She's so rapey.
I was also like, Amarantha was really rapey.
She was.
Like, why are the women just really rapey? Like, when you're a bad woman in this universe, you...
You want to rape you, men.
It's not like... You're not, like, cruel or mean. You're, like, rapey.
So weird. That was in the third book, too, though, that we really find out Ianthe's rapiness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, we're in chapter 7 now. Reese is telling Farrah things. He tells her that she's super powerful and probably has the powers of all seven High Lords because...
She was revived by them. Yeah.
He's like, you need to train because you aren't going to need to fight in the upcoming war.
Yeah.
She doesn't want there to be a war. And I guess is going to do what Reese says to prepare, which is to read.
I think she does need to learn how to read. That's, like, important.
And to practice guarding her mind.
Yeah.
Just some random things that are happening. A bunch of high priestesses were murdered. Cassian and Azrael, or Azrael.
I say Azrael.
Azrael were mentioned. People on TikTok talk about these dudes a lot, I said. She has to... Okay, and now she's back. See, this chapter is so long. All of that happened, and now she's back at Spring Court.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't the transition back to Spring Court be separated by a chapter? Okay, she's back at Spring Court, and she's like, tells Tamlin everything that she saw, and she's gonna be a spy for Tamlin. But Rhysand wants to work with Tamlin, and Tamlin wants to work against him. Does this make Tamlin in league with the bad dude on the island, I question? Tamlin doesn't want her to train. It's too dangerous. He doesn't want anyone to know she might have powers because they'll want to kill her for it. I do disagree with that, but his reasoning is that he doesn't want to lose her. It's the overprotective stuff again.
Yeah, it is like, again, I don't necessarily want her to be with Tamlin. I just don't think what they did to Tamlin's character was fair.
Yeah. It's the tithe, which is a...
Tithe.
Thank you. Tithe, which is the time of year that all of the fairies in the Spring Court have to give Tamlin... items.
What was the point of this?
To make Tamlin more of an asshole in Tara's mind.
Literally. Had no plot significance.
No, it's never... later, the water fairy comes back.
I know, no, but Mariah, this isn't relevant to the war. This isn't relevant to anything.
No.
It's just a thing this that happens in the Spring Court and no other courts, apparently.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's to contrast... That, I don't know if it doesn't happen in all the other courts, but it doesn't happen in Night Court because Reese would never enforce a tithe on his people. So yeah, someone can't pay. She's an ugly water fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So Farrah gives her jewelry that she's wearing to pay for the tithe because the water fairies are starving and now they can eat. And Talon is pissed at her because he, like, she undermined his authority.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's tradition. Like, this is just what we do here. And she's like, well, this isn't
how fair should be done.
And while this is happening, Farrah slips into Lucien's mind and summons fire with her hands. So, yes, so she has the powers.
Yeah, she has the powers. I, like, was kind of on Tamlin's side about this. Like, I understand her perspective. But, like, it feels like it's an economic issue in the... in the Spring Court, as opposed to a, like, if you give one water, like, give one water fairy a jewel does not fix the fact that they're poor.
Yeah, absolutely not. And what are you gonna do? Give everyone jewels?
Yeah, and that's what Tamlin says. He's like, is that what you're, like, is that your plan? Is you give your jewels to everyone who then give them back to us? Like, this doesn't resolve anything.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, like, her point was, we don't need what these people are giving us. Like, we are fine. So, like, maybe, like, they should have just had a conversation about, like, why are we doing the tithe? What can we do to support our... Did I say it wrong again?
Tithe. Yeah.
What can we do to support our people?
Yeah, like, how can we economically fix our country or whatever, our court? Yeah.
And the other part about the water fairy is, like, she had to leave and, like, had some time to come back with, like, something. This wasn't the end of the road.
Yeah, they could have, I don't know, it was just weird that then Farrah's painted as, like, such a magically good, kind person.
I know, and from here on out, I think she progressively gets worse and worse.
Yeah, she gets very manipulative. And I'm like, I was kind of, like, fine with her getting manipulative, because then it kind of fit with her being at the Night Court. Even though the Night Court pretends they're not manipulative, because they are manipulative. But it's fine. Anyway, let's move along.
Okay. Chapter 9. They forgive each other, and she finally tells him that she's drowning at the Spring Court because he's too protective and she can't breathe. Then he destroys the study, and she uses her own powers to stop the debris from hitting her. I guess her revealing her struggles causes him to break down, too.
Yeah, so then the other piece of Tamlin where I'm struggling a little bit is that he is, like, physically abusive.
Because he gets angry.
Because he gets so angry that he blows, like, literally explodes things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's not a good trait in a man. You probably shouldn't be with him.
No.
But again,
like, her old room that she used to live in, it comes later. But yeah. Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet. Never mind.
Yeah, it happens in the third
book. So confusing.
Anyway, he does explode things, and it makes him literally physically abusive. And so then it's like, okay, good, Farrah, don't be with him, whatever. But again, that doesn't make Tamlin, I mean, maybe to some people it makes him just a straight up evil person with no redeeming qualities. But then why did we spend a whole book falling in love with him?
Because he doesn't do any of that in the first book.
No, he doesn't. He's not physically abusive in the first book.
Now all of a sudden he is.
Yeah. And maybe she just didn't realize that he was. But yeah. It's still...
I mean, we did not talk about it. We wouldn't have rated him so high if he was physically abusive before.
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay, chapter 10. Mm-hmm. When she was human, she needed a protector, and now she doesn't feel she needs that, but that is still what Tamlin is to her. I guess that's just my own commentary. I don't know. She does have less guards around her, though. She wants to know about the war. See, this is where I was like, maybe Tamlin is in cahoots with King,
Highburn boy.
Because she wants to know about the war and what Tamlin is doing when he leaves, because he leaves for days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he says she doesn't need to know. So I was like, is it because he's, like, going somewhere bad? Yeah. Or is he just, you know, trying to protect her again?
Yeah. And I think the answer is he's trying to protect her.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
They have a lot of makeup sex, which I am still bothered by.
That they're having such an active, healthy sex life.
Yes. I said, okay, this is a comment that I have no idea what it means. I think he should tell her.
Probably about where he's
going.
Oh,
the war?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Reese comes. Why does she go out to see him naked in a blanket?
No answer.
Okay, yeah, because now, like, they've just had their makeup sex, and, mm-hmm. like, Reese knocks on the door and is like, time to come get you. And Tamlin goes to talk to him, and then she can hear them, like, fighting in the hallway. So she's like, oh, I better go deal with this. So she just wraps a sheet around herself and goes out there. And I'm like, why wouldn't you put on clothes?
Because, Mariah, there's a weird cuckold fantasy happening in this.
So she doesn't put on clothes.
Yeah.
Chapter 11. I guess she's being a good fiance by refusing to help Reese, knowing it would piss off Tamlin. I don't know what that means. Any ideas?
Nope.
Okay. She's also lost a lot of weight in the last month. Oh, yeah. So, like, since the last time she went to Reese's, she has, like, gotten significantly skinnier. And I said, why? Just because of stress? But the week of the Night Court made her look healthier.
Yeah, apparently the Night Court's really good for her, and Tamlin is really bad for her.
Which bothers me so much. Rysen wants to help her out of her depression and wonders why Tamlin and no one at Spring Court has done anything. She needs counseling and to grieve, I say.
Yeah, but it's not Reese's responsibility to do that. And it's not Tamlin's responsibility.
It's her responsibility to be like, I am not...
Well, maybe it's not, though, because she's 19 and basically an infant child. So maybe she does need an adult to sort that out for her.
That just gives it, like, dad vibes.
Yeah, I just...
Because
they're
old enough to be her, like, great, 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 great grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay. But Reese is right, because he points out to her, finally, that if she doesn't live her life to the fullest, that Amarantha wins anyways. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you.
Pointing this out, because you're an idiot, Farrah, for trying to bury your depression.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 12. I don't know why, but she's back at Spring Court. That's not what I don't know why about. The week is up, obviously. But Tamlin has returned to having her guarded at all times.
Okay. Maybe because Reese showed up in the middle of the night while they were banging.
Oh, and he got through the wards.
Yeah, so then Tamlin's all...
But again, like...
Reese announces when he arrives.
Like... No, but, like, again, thinking of what the Tamlin logic behind this. He's like, people break through our wards. I gotta protect the love of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she got kidnapped from our actual wedding. Like...
Yes. And now she's being kidnapped, like,
frequently.
And he's getting into our house.
Yeah, to take her.
To take her.
Whenever.
When our house is supposed to be guarded from that happening.
Yeah. And so, like, she's having a great time when she goes to the night court.
She is.
But from Tamlin's perspective, it is really just, like, someone being taken from him over and over again. Like, it's very activating his PTSD.
Yeah. I mean, like, you understand, like, Reese is doing this very, like, he's showing up in moments.
Yeah, that are deliberately aggravating.
Triggering.
Yeah.
Tamlin.
Yeah. 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 It's not good for the PTSD.
She has talons.
Yeah.
Which now means that we know she can do shapeshifting.
Yeah.
Lucian also is fighting for her to train. Go Lucian.
Yes.
Is this my first Lucian mention? Maybe. She should train, but Tamlin and Ianthe both do not want her to train. They want to kill Rhys and are worried that another High Lord will enslave Farrah to breed her.
Okay. I don't know if that was a necessary thing to include, but it's fine.
But she doesn't get a say at all. She's not even a part of the conversation, so obviously she's just gonna train with Rhys.
Yeah.
Oh, and now, the moment we've all been waiting for. The moment that she leaves Tamlin forever. So, Tamlin and Lucian are going away quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if there's some kind of emergency, and she's like, take me with you. And he's like, no, I will not. And then she fights, and she said, well, I'm just coming. You know I'm powerful. I'm gonna come anyways. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no, you won't. I'm still more powerful than you. And he basically creates a invisible wall around the house that only she cannot get out of.
Yep. And then she freaks out. Fair. Which...
Fair.
Fair. I'm not anti that. It...
I am anti how she deals with it from here on out.
Yeah.
Because it was terrible.
Yeah.
So she basically, like, creates this orb around her.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
And screams.
Yeah.
And starts destroying things, I guess, kind of. I don't
really
know for sure. And she starts, like, you know, and she's calling out.
Yeah.
Help me, help
yeah.
me. And so...
So, shocking. Who would come at that time? Actually, it isn't Rhys.
No.
Yeah.
It's Mor. Mor comes to save her. Why?
Because Rhys says was it's busy because, or something?
No, he's like, I can't go into the... I can't...
Oh.
But he broke the ward literally a chapter ago.
I don't know. Maybe they got better wards since that time.
She seems to have turned herself into a fireball is what I wrote.
Yeah. I think it's because... I think Rhys can't do it because it would be like a...
An active
aggression kind of thing.
Against the Spring Court.
Yeah.
And it would break out into war, and he's like, we can't fight that war while we're fighting while we're fighting the other war.
Yeah, whereas if Mor does it, that's better for
Even
some
though
reason.
Mor is his, right.
Yeah, but Mor is, like, a free agent somehow or
but
something.
She's not. She's, like...
She's clearly very
Night
Court. Yeah.
Isn't she, like... She's not his second in command, because that's the other lady. But
yeah.
She is his, like...
Main, yeah.
Point of contact? I can't remember.
Anyway.
Anyways. So she brings her... she brings Vera somewhere summery, and Rhys is there, is what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 13. She has decided, I will never go back. No surprise there. I did expect it to take longer to get to there, though.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because I read it fast. she says that eventually she'll go back, but Rhys gives her freedom and the ability to choose. I said, what a weird way to end part one. They describe a house that Rhys takes her to, and it says that the house is in a city. It's like it's supposed to be so shocking or something to me.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
because what we find out is that he isn't... Okay, so backstory of the Night Court.
Yeah.
Is the Night Court, the Night Court that everyone other than people in Night Court know about is the Hewn City.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Court of Nightmares.
Which is, like...
an underground city.
That's, like, horrible.
Horrible.
And it's just full of, like, evil, manipulative people and assholes and things like
yes.
that.
And that is what the rest of the world knows. But in this final chapter of part one, he takes her to Valaris.
Yeah.
Which is the City of Dreams.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a beautiful city and everyone there is nice and kind. And he's like, this is the true Court of Night Court.
Yeah.
And that's how part one ends. I'm like... Really? I just don't understand. Like, I really was like, it's like she thinks that we're gonna be like...
I know. Because, like, at this point, it's very, very clear that Reese is not an asshole.
No.
Like, it's already been established.
No,
exactly. We didn't even... There was no stakes here. Like, it was obvious he was not an asshole.
Yeah.
And so then him having a city where non-assholes live is not surprising.
No. So that is the end of the court. What was that first chapter, part one, called? The House of Beasts. I guess because Tamlin is a beast. Yeah. I also, the other thing that I did write was, like, I felt really bad about Lucien, like, and his whole situation with all of this. Because there he was in it a lot more. Mm-hmm. But, like, he understood very much Farrah's
position.
Yeah. And fought for her pretty consistently. Like, she needs more freedom. She needs to train. Blah, blah, blah. And he would try to bring it up with Tamlin. And Tamlin would just shut him down and was like, I'm your High Lord. Obey me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. This is, like, gonna separate her and Lucien, and she's gonna lose trust in Lucien. And I was like, I know why you're doing it, Lucien. Like,
yeah,
you have a chain of command, and he is your, like...
superior.
Like, and he's your best friend.
Yeah.
And he saved you from your terrible, awful family, like...
Yeah.
And Farrah is just gonna hate you. I really don't like her.
I know. And it drove me insane.
Like...
the author then, like... just, like, drove this massive wedge between Tamlin and Lucien.
I know.
Because of girls.
I know.
Like, they were best friends for 500 years. And then author was like, actually, not anymore.
This is book three stuff, guys.
Yeah, sorry. Lucien just gets such a raw deal.
He does.
And, like, and also in book three, Lucien is like, you're a better friend to me than I ever was to you. And I was like, no. You were a better friend. You were the better friend all the time. But
the reason why he's saying that is because he's like, I should have fought for you harder.
Yeah, at this stage.
At this stage, in these moments here. Yeah. In the House of Beasts. But then Lucien had his own crap going on too, because Ianthe was literally trying to rape him this whole time.
Yeah!
Which we don't find out about until later. But yeah. Spoiler, that was happening.
Yeah.
And he was really uncomfortable about it.
Shockingly, he wasn't into it. And, like, so then, yeah.
Oh, also, do we know Lucien's backstory? Just so we all know.
Yeah.
His backstory was that he was in love, and his family was like, no, you're not, and literally killed her in front of him.
Yeah.
And then tried to kill him.
Yeah.
And he ran away, and when he got over the border of Spring Court, Tamlin was there, and then Tamlin and Lucien turned around and killed two of his brothers. Like,
yeah.
Not a great, like...
He's literally just, like, struggling to be okay.
Everyone is struggling to be okay.
And yet he's doing a great job.
He is. He doesn't have PTSD.
No, he's, like, he's got a friend.
Okay, ready for part two?
Yeah.
So, part two, chapter 14. She's at Reese's home in the city of Endless Starlight. It has a fancy name. Oh, it's Valaris.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're about to meet a lot of new characters, everybody. So, Cassian, who was briefly mentioned, but Cassian is Reese's commander of armies.
Yeah.
Azriel, who is Reese's commander of spies or, like, secrets. So, like,
spy master.
Moore.
Who we've met.
And a woman. I don't know if I just was like, I'm not going to write her name down. But I'm going to give her name now. It's Amryn.
Yeah. And she is, like, something inside a human body. She's not a human.
She thinks that it's so odd that Cassian is so casual with his... Wait, messing man Reese. She thinks it's odd that Reese is so casual with his inner circle. But I was like, dude, Tamlin and Lucien are casual with each other. What are you talking about?
I know. Like, you don't have any precedent of, like, formality.
No. Like, Lucien and Tamlin were just buds. They'd hang out.
They literally just sat there, like, and, like, looked at you while, like... She was a human.
Yeah.
And they just talked about her.
Yeah, like, so casual.
Yeah.
And, like, they would talk about her, like, when her and Tamlin started having sex, they would just talk about it at the table with Lucien.
Yeah!
I'm like, this was pretty casual, I'd so say.
Yeah.
But no. Apparently, the level of casualness that Reese has with his inner circle...
a whole other level of casual.
This city was never touched by Amarantha because Reese kept it secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a secret for thousands of years. The Night Court High Lord has been pretending that he's evil for thousands of years. Well, some of them are actually evil, but even the evil ones think it's good to keep the pretty, wonderful city secret.
Yeah. I also found it really funny because they were like, yeah, no, it's fine, though. Like, we do trading still. And I was like, how the hell are you doing trading if you can't?
Because he glamors the people and they don't remember where they delivered their goods.
I was like, that's such an elaborate story. And it's like, I don't know if that works, but it's fine.
But it's fine. Okay. Valaris is known for its art, which freaks out Farrah. And she also is like, these people are so happy and not tainted by life under the mountain. So chapter 15, she starts having suicidal thoughts.
Good note.
Rhys flies her to his other house in the city and loves his mom.
Yep. Those are things that happen.
I don't like Farrah's conclusion about Tamlin. He was perfectly good to her before. Now she's rewriting history too. Because now she's like, he was always bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about?
You were literally in love with him.
You literally went under the mountain
to die for him.
Like, what are you saying? And she, like, I was like, you cannot, like, pretend.
I know.
I have a lot to say about it. Look at this. Here we go. Are you ready? I'm thinking that I must have been a fool. Okay, this is what she says.
Okay.
I'm thinking that I must have been a fool in love to allow myself to be shown so little of the Spring Court. I'm thinking there's a great deal of that territory I was never allowed to see or hear about, and maybe I would have lived in ignorance forever, like some pet. I'm thinking that I was a lonely, hopeless person, and I might have fallen in love with the first thing that showed me a hint of kindness and safety. And I'm thinking maybe he knew that. Maybe not actively, but maybe he wanted to be that person for someone. And maybe that worked for who I was before. Maybe it doesn't work for what I am now.
Okay. Several problems. Number one. Okay, it's fine. It's fine if human Farrah and fairy Tamlin, that was the pairing, and now fairy Farrah is not good for fairy Tamlin. That's fine. But you were there for, like, 6 months. How can you be like, maybe I would have been his pet forever and I never would have seen any of this?
Which is bull, because he was like, go where you want.
Yeah.
When she was a human, she was allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
He didn't stop her at all.
Yeah. He started, like, stopping her when he started caring about her.
Yeah.
And even then, he still, like, showed her really pretty parts of the Spring Court. If she'd asked, she was just sad and depressed all the time.
Yeah.
Like.
And then her whole, like, oh, he saw that I was, like, sad and lonely. She had a boy back home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that she's, like, Spring Court was a bad time, actually.
Like, the whole time. Like, pretending, like, the whole time was, like. But really, it was just, like, 2 months.
Yeah. And it was such a short period of time. Like, it's crazy to me. Like. Tamlin was really treating her like a newborn baby, which she was. And then she's like, how could he treat me like that? I'm 19. Shut up.
I felt very passionately about it. I had to take the whole quote because I was like, are you kidding me, Farrah?
Yeah, like, the amount of things, if I was like endlessly that old, you have to stop measuring your life in months. Like, yeah. You have to be like, give Tamlin a year. He might be way better. Who knows?
Yeah. Chapter 16. General chit-chat with important people.
Is that the whole thing for the chapter?
No, there's not.
Okay.
It's quite a long chapter. Amryn is spooky and was made from something else, but we don't know what. None of these people were under the mountain because Rhysand kept his inner circle a secret, too. Mm-hmm. It hurt them to stay hidden while others were tortured and starved. I guess that's good news.
Okay.
They are explaining so much stuff right now. Demanti, Shadow Singers, I just don't care to know. I said, I'd rather learn about it as it happens. Because they were explaining it, and I know what those things are now. Demanti are people who can read minds.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shadow Singers are people who can turn into shadows to spy. Like,
yeah.
I learned it when people did it.
Yeah.
And they would she would use the word while it was happening. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But not here in just this word
blah.
Dump.
Yeah.
Of, there are people who are this, and there are people who are this, and it's really important to know.
Yeah.
No. Just have it happen, and then I'll know.
Yeah.
Like, I never actually really understood that Azrael was what that meant until he turned into shadows, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, like, that's what that meant.
That's what that meant.
Yeah.
So stupid. Okay. Rysan's dad mated with a lowborn Illyrian. Again, I understand so much more about this just by interacting with Illyrians. So Illyrians are fairies. They are not high fae, which means they are less than fairies. Illyrians are are winged creatures. So Rysand is winged, not because he can shapeshift.
Yeah.
But because he's an Illyrian.
Yeah.
But he can shapeshift because he can put his wings away.
Yeah, I think that's because I think it's because he's high fae.
Okay.
I don't know why he can put his wings away, but he can.
So Cassian and Azrael are both Illyrians.
But they can't put their wings
away. Can't put their wings away.
Yeah.
And they're lesser fairies, like the High Fae, don't really respect them.
Yeah.
So Rysan's had a pretty hard time as High Lord, especially at the Court of Nightmares.
Yeah.
Because he's half Illyrian.
Yeah.
His dad was a butt, but his mom was the bomb.
I bet that was exactly what they said in the book.
She relates to Cassian because he was hungry growing up. And she knows what that's like.
Yep.
Cassian, Az, and Rhys were stronger and better than anyone else that was Illyrian. I don't know why for Cassian, because he was just normal. But they were really
strong.
They
really go into the backstory of the three boys being BFFs for life, which is fine. It was cute.
Yeah.
But I was like...
Yeah. Like, they hated each other to start, but then they, like, decided to help each other and then, like, became a powerhouse and...
Yeah, and now they're powerhouses for life.
It is implied that Mor has the worst backstory, but we aren't going to be told it for a while, I'm assuming. I said, this chapter is too long. Because it's still going. She asks if training to fight sends the wrong message and then realizes that's dumb. Mor says that she knows what the Spring Court tries to do to her. What? I don't even know. Protect her? Control her? Gauge her? What's the thing that the Spring Court tried to do?
Yeah.
She agrees that she will work with them. They definitely give off friendship vibes. Also, she's going to go talk to the Bone Carver because Hybern wants to resurrect the mortal dude from the first book that Amarantha kept his eye on her ring. I don't know why he would be useful. He also only has an eye and a finger.
Thank you.
So that was chapter 16. lots going on there.
By the way, immortal dude is Jurian.
His name is Jurian.
Yeah.
And all of those people who had backstory that were briefly mentioned become more and more important, and I still don't really understand their backstory because I was like, why do we need to know so much about them? I just don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 17. She realizes how much Rysan gave up to keep his people safe. He used every ounce of his power to protect them for 50 years. She has a nightmare and pukes. And they're heading to prison, which is in a rock, so she panics and refuses. And Rysan just is like, okay. He also tries to give her coping mechanisms.
All right, so she's getting over her PTSD a little bit?
No.
No, she's being...
She's freaking out.
Yeah,
like, she sees that they have to go into a mountain.
Yeah,
and then she's like, no. And the point of it is, Rhys is like, I won't make you do anything you don't want to do. You always have choice. Even though we need you to go in, like, he needs her to go talk to the Bone Carver.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like, if you can't, we won't do it. It's fine.
But, like, why does that make him better than Tamlin?
I know, it doesn't, like, Tamlin never did anything like that. It's just...
He just wasn't in that position.
It's about she always has a choice with Rhys.
Yeah.
Always. Even though he always gets what he wants anyway, so does she?
It's because he only asks for things that she can give.
Yeah.
So then it works out for him.
And then the contrasting that with Tamlin, who never gave her a choice.
Yeah.
Well, not true. Only stopped giving her a choice after he had been PTSD.
Yeah.
Because pre that, he gave her a choice.
Yeah. Anyway.
Chapter 18, some more stuff about the inner circle. Cassian is good at fighting. Azrael was abused by his family. Were any of them not abused by their family? Amarin is some kind of monster locked up in a human body. She gave Farrah an amulet, which will help her feel secure in the prison.
Yeah, that was a weird part. It's fine.
It's gonna get to... We're gonna get... It comes back later.
Yeah.
Moore is like a queen. Okay, I knew I wrote about what Moore was like. She manages the politics of the Night Court. So I was like, how does Moore saving her at the Supreme Court not cause tensions?
Yeah, I don't...
Like, she, like I said, she's basically queen.
Yeah. So
basically in charge of everything that
Reese
doesn't do.
Yeah. Like,
stupid. Reese thinks Amarin is from another world altogether and came to this one when it was being formed. She's existed for millennia. And this is the moment I've said from last book, chapter 18. Is her name Feyre? That's how the Bone Crusher Carver pronounced it. I'm shocked.
Because you were saying fair up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 18, he must have done something
that enunciated it. Yeah.
So she does, the amulet helps her get into the prison. And the reason is because Amarin was in the prison before and escaped.
Yeah.
And she says,
if you take this, then you'll be able to get out. Yeah.
So her and Reese are talking to the Bone Carver. The Bone Carver is a shapeshifter as well, but he shapeshifts into whatever. He's like basically a boggart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you explain a boggart to people who don't know what boggarts are?
Harry Potter has them.
He basically can look. He looks like what he wants to look like for each individual person.
Yeah, and it's different per person. It's like, I think it's the opposite of a boggart. In that he, like, turns into what you want to see?
No, because Reese saw Amarantha.
Oh. Okay, well then he just turns into something unsettling.
So, she sees a small boy.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rysand is giving her choice, but I feel it's still a bit manipulative. I keep calling him the Bone Crusher. Obviously, I got that wrong. This time. The Bone Carver wouldn't talk to anyone else, and how convenient that he would talk to Feyre. And Rysand convinced her to join, and brought a gift of a bone she used in the trials. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he, in this, like, so long ago, was already, like, Feyre.
She'll go to the Bone Carver.
Yeah.
So I need to grab the bone.
Yeah. Like, it's not, I don't know. I was like, sure, she's still choosing all these things, but, like.
He was like, you're gonna say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what are you doing, in a kind way,
yeah,
to make her risk her life for you?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
You can bring a person back from the dead when all that's left is a bone and an eye if you use a magic cauldron.
Yeah.
And the magic cauldron is missing. Someone has stolen the feet of the cauldron, though. So whoever is stealing the feet probably have the whole thing. And it's probably... Do they... I mean, at this point, I've wrote... But they don't know who has it. I'm pretty sure Reese is pretty sure that it's the king.
Yeah. Highburn has the cauldron and all the feet.
The feet of the cauldron. And the feet of the cauldron, that's why at the very beginning there was the mention of the priestesses being murdered, because the priestesses have been guarding the feet of the cauldron.
Yeah. Which, it sounds really weird that the feet are necessary. I could never figure out, like, what the cauldron looked like.
It seemed huge.
Yeah, later I was like, okay, it clearly fits a whole fucking person in it. But for a long time, I was picturing a very small cauldron.
Yes. Like a witch's brew cauldron.
Yeah, like you could hold stews. It. Yeah.
But it's big. And Bone Carver, I don't really, like, the Bone Carver just knows things, I guess.
Yeah, because he's also from some other plane of existence.
Why can't they go talk to the Surreal?
I don't know. They don't know where she is.
But she just lures the Surreal out all the time.
I know, she can find... Feyre can find the Surreal at anywhere. Any time that she needs it. But Reese is like, oh, I gotta go to Bone Carver.
So there is a book that can nullify the cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
Summer Court has half of it, and the humans have the other half. So they need to get the book.
Yeah.
She reveals, I don't know why, but she reveals how broken she is to the Bone Carver, and Rysand can hear it because he's just outside the door.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is a me thought, but I think it's a good one, or if it was from the book. I said, you can't get strong if you won't admit what makes you weak.
I think that's probably a book thing. No offense to you.
I want it to be me, because I think that sounds really good. I should go read chapter 17 and 18 again. Okay, chapter 19. She's going to help find the book.
Wow, shocking.
Isn't it convenient again that he needs her for something that only she can do?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, she better say yes.
It's something about, oh, they need to reconnect the book, and the book can only be reconnected by all seven High Lords Or Farrah,
who is
all seven High Lords.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so much of this, I'm like, how much of this, I mean, we find out, because they're mated, we've already said this, so it's fine, that, like, he also loves her, mm-hmm. but if he didn't...
How would he convince her to do this? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's literally, like, so much of, like, I just need you, so I'm gonna pretend to love you. Like, if they weren't mated, this mm-hmm. could totally be a...
Him just manipulating her, like,
100%.
Straight up. Because he needs her.
Like, that's where I was at this point. Now yeah. I know they were mated, but, like...
Yeah, and that would have been actually really cool tension, to yeah. be honest.
Yeah.
If it
had started as, like, they hadn't mated yet.
And it was and a question was, like, of if he's manipulating her or if they're mated.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
So she is going to become an emissary to the humans, since Hybern wants to kill the humans.
Uh-huh.
And she needs to go steal something of Rysand's from a blind evil creature to prove her skill at finding the book.
Again, this is very manipulative, to be honest. this had me, like, being like, Reese, what the fuck? Like, it was really... I don't know. I was like, honestly, she probably should have just died attempting this, and then the books would be over. Like, realistically, she probably should have died.
From this moment.
Yeah, but I thought she was clever in her stealing the thingy from the thingy. The Weaver.
Yes.
Because she did use, like, human smarts, and it was very challenging for her to do the task.
Yes. So yeah, I don't remember, he wants her to steal a ring.
Yeah.
And then
as soon as it was a ring, I was like, well, I know what that ring's gonna be for, but it's fine.
So because she needs to be able to use her, like, powers to sense the book.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you need to, we'll test it by you going to this lady's house. Her name's the Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't tell her anything about the Weaver.
Nope.
But he's like, go into the Weaver's house. Don't get caught by her. Sense the ring and come out.
Yep. Easy.
So she go, and, like, all the way there. He's also flirting with her, but also, like, you should sleep with Cassian.
Weird.
Which he does a lot. I think this is the first time I've commented on it, but this is not the first time that he's like, you should, like, sleep around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you doing, like, why are you saying this? Is this, like, I was like, in this moment, I was like, is this to distract her from, like, what she's about to face? Or is this, like, I want to see if you go, no, I don't want to sleep with Cassian.
I want to sleep with you.
Yeah. Like, what is your logic here? And you're not a 500-year-old man. This is not what 500-year-old men do. But you do. So that happens. So Reese stays away, and Reese can't go because the Weaver knows his scent or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So she finds the ring, and then I said, I think the Weaver turns humans and fairies into yarn. That's not what she does, though.
She does, like, weave
people. She weaves people, but she doesn't turn them into yarn. She just weaves them. Like, the roof was made out of hair.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, it's, she does
weave. Like, her house is made out of human bodies.
Yeah.
Not yarn.
It was pretty upsetting.
And she eats them.
Yeah. Also. There was, like, a part where, like, Farrah was, like, on the roof with the human hair, and, like, there was, like, blood and guts in the chimney or something.
Yeah.
It was pretty upsetting to read. I was like, this is really gross.
Yeah. Who's that? So the Weaver catches her, because the Weaver, she's blind, but she can hear. I don't
yeah, yeah.
really well. Okay. So she's, like, freaking out. She's in the chimney.
Yeah.
Trapped in the chimney.
Yeah.
And then Reese uses his mind bond to be like, you are powerful.
Yeah, which is, like, supposed to be reminiscent of the trials when he was like, you can do it. And it's like, look, he's a good guy because he sends you mind text messages that say,
you can do this.
Yeah.
So she does it. And when she gets back to Reese, she's like, what was this ring? And he says, it's something my mom gave to the Weaver, but doesn't tell her why at this point. So we'll keep on going. Then Reese, for some reason, shows her a memory of Ianthe trying to seduce him to have powerful babies with him, I guess. Reese doesn't like it. Farrah doesn't like it either. She wants Ianthe dismissed. So this is our first Ianthe has rapey vibes moment. Yep. Chapter 22, Mor's backstory. Mor was sold to the highest bidder to take her virginity and get her power. Nice. She did escape, but they've left that story for now. So we still don't have all of the backstory.
Mor's backstory. Okay, we got half. Good enough.
She's starting to feel things for Reese, but is denying them. So she flies with Asriel as they head to the mortal world.
Yep.
Chapter 23, she convinces Nesta to let her stay at their house and have meetings there on behalf of the Fae people. Nesta is surprised that she did all she did for Tamlin and still lost him.
Yeah, we all are, Nesta.
I don't get how there hasn't been word from him yet. That was a little suspicious to me. I was like, it's been a while.
Yeah, like why are you just...
Like, why haven't you, like, sent word and been like, did you steal my girlfriend? Like,
are you good, bro?
Are you okay? Yeah. Like, what's happening? But at least at this moment, Fair thinks to herself that Tamlin was probably even more broken than her from being in the mountain.
And he was!
And he was!
He was from that and, like, a lot of other stuff in his life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the thing is, at this moment, she realizes maybe he was worse off than I was, and still doesn't think to herself, maybe I should, like, just let him know
where I am, what's
like,
going
that
on.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go, like,
be with him,
but you should at least be like, Tamlin, I am happy.
I have made a choice. But the thing is, Farrah hasn't made the full choice yet. She's just kind of fucking around.
But you can, I mean, all she says is, I am happy, I am not coming back, but you do not need to worry about me.
Yeah, like I'm safe, but Tamlin thinks that Rhys is, like, evil and manipulating her brain into thinking that.
But then she should just lie and say, alone, like, I don't know.
I know.
Like.
There should still, like.
Because, like, Rhys has alliances with, like, Daycourt. He should, like, they should just.
Say she's say, there and yeah. doing fine.
And then, like, tell the Daycourt High Lord, if Tamlin comes asking.
Say she doesn't want to see him.
She doesn't want to see him and that she's there.
Yeah. So that he's, yeah.
Solutions.
There are alternate solutions than just keep Tamlin furious and in the dark about everything.
Chapter 24. Nesta is mean. Cassian is mean back. I think they are going to get together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty clear.
Yeah. Based on this one interaction. Chapter 25. That's all I wrote about that chapter. I don't know. It was probably because that's all that happened.
Yeah.
Chapter 25. More Rhys and Farrah flirting as they pass notes. She doesn't want to shapeshift because of Tamlin. She also doesn't want to know if Rhys and his friends killed Tamlin's whole family.
She already knows that Tamlin killed Rhys's family.
Yes. And Tamlin and Rhys did kill Tamlin's.
Yeah.
But Tamlin's worse because of what he did.
Yeah, but Tamlin's actually the bad guy. You might not. I don't know if you guys have picked it up, but Tamlin's actually bad.
And Rhys...
Rhys
had
good.
His reasons to kill Tamlin's family.
Yeah, but Rhys was entirely justified in killing Tamlin's family.
Oh, good. Okay, so they are in the human world training,
mm-hmm.
and she's kidnapped by the Adder.
Should we stop here and then do another episode?
We could.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. How are we feeling? Wonderful.
Yeah.
Annoyed.
Annoyed.
I'm about to get more annoyed. Get ready for...
Part 2.
Part 2.
In which Mariah gets more annoyed. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Patreon and on our website and on Instagram. And yeah, stay tuned for part 2. I think that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Bye.